This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing, so we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at byheart.com.
I didn't expect to ever have another child with Danny.
Surprise.
Life sure does not go as planned. I definitely think Natalia's depressed and devastated because of the wedding getting called off. And then on top of it, dealing with the fact, the disappointment that she thought she's pregnant because she was late and we were trying. We were purposely trying to have a child, and me and Danielle was a total accident. Like, whoops.
Seems like nothing goes as planned sometimes.
Another episode, a late breaking, I'm sorry, episode of Seeking Sister Wife this week. I had to get Vanderpump Rules off my spirit, okay? So that took precedent this week, but we're back, baby. And we got a lot to talk about, y'all. First things first, several of you guys reached out to tell me that y'all had heard some rumor that Naeem and Nayla could potentially be first cousins. I wasn't able to see what the exact tea was because it had already been deleted, but it sounds like via the comments that maybe Nayla had referred to Jameela, her mother-in-law, as like auntie or something, and maybe people got confused, but it sounds like maybe this is like a cultural thing and not like an actual biological yucko. Okay, so we're spared at least one day. Can't talk to you about tomorrow, but let's get into what happened this week. I'm actually surprised to say that Nayla and Naeem had a more interesting storyline than, I mean, they were only competing against two other families, but they were not the least boring or the most boring couple this week. So let's celebrate that. We're going to start off with Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips. Okay. Because the trio, our three girls, are headed off to some place called Pindustry. Is this a bowling place? I don't know. They only drank outside. It's hard to say. But they're going on a date, their first date, to meet some pit chick that they met on an app. Her name's Jasmine. Jasmine, I think they said reach out to her on the apps. And they're like, oh, she's funky, spunky, cute. Let's hang out. So she comes out. They have like a women first situation where they all get to meet and vet the potential girlfriends or sister wives before Nick even gets to, which is interesting. Another Slick Nick exclusive. Don't you think? Like giving them the power, you know, I'm going to reel you guys in the right direction, and y'all get to do the work of seeing if she's weird or not. And then I'm going to trust y'all to have vetted this woman, and then I just get to come in there and fuck her. Slick Nick strikes again, doesn't he? So Danielle says, meeting with somebody that I could potentially legally marry is scary, but I'm kind of trying to refocus how I look at things. Like, I was looking through the doe-eyed, hard-blinked eyes of a new sister wife who didn't know what I was going, but now I'm taking on like an apprenticeship, right? With April and Jennifer. I'm learning the ropes from their side. Jennifer loves her immediately. Doesn't seem to take much. All Jasmine had to do was walk in with a highlighter yellow dress and some heels. And Jennifer's like, I love her. That's it. Jasmine gives us a little bit of tea, right? She's 30. She's looking for this situation. She wants to have a circle of mom friends, and she's got an 11-year-old son that she wants to have a stable environment for him, right? So they play Jenga, and I just have to ask the question. I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum. I just, like, did we all get bored with just regular Jenga? Because I have not seen people play Jenga that doesn't involve a question and answer, truth or dare, sexual nature to things. Like, what happened? I was good. I haven't played Jenga in quite a while, but I still remember the, like, tension and anxiety that comes from just trying to get the blocks out and then back on without making it crumble. Wasn't that, that was enough for me. Why have we escalated things? I'm not, again, no judgment. I'm just wondering, like, when did we as a society decide that just regular Jenga was no longer enough? Like, the only time you get to play, like, regular Jenga is with the big fucking ones that are in the yard. You know, like, the ones that are, like, 2 feet, like, 2x4s. That's the only time you get to play regular now. I feel like maybe this is upsetting me more than I'm thinking. I've been holding this in for a while. It feels good to let out. And honestly, maybe I'm scared because, like, I'm thinking next time I play Jenga, I'm going to either have to open up my deepest, darkest secrets or pop a titty out. Why does it have to be one or the other? Anyway, they're asking questions about Jasmine, right? Danielle's doing, they're like, take over the training. This is your elite employee, right? So you go first. So Danielle's like, okay, well, how do you feel about this lifestyle? What about this is appealing to you? Have you ever done it? She's like, no, I haven't done it, but I'm very interested. So then Jasmine throws it up to them. What drew you to the lifestyle? Jennifer's like, yeah, I just love it. It just gives me an opportunity to thrive, and I'm just, like, living my best life. And she's like, we don't really hear from the rest of them. I don't know. Jennifer seems to be having a great time, though, right? So Danielle goes back, Jasmine, how do you feel about having more kids? And Jasmine's like, girl, I love being pregnant. I want to have a whole thing, right? I have no problem having babies. So Danielle says, great, I like that you want to have kids. But she says in a confessional, I want Vera and William to have siblings, make no mistake, but this is not going to be like some kind of cheaper by the dozen situation, okay? Danielle then asks Jasmine, okay, well, how do you feel about, you know, one in the bed and the other one said roll over, roll over? And she's like, no problem. Once again, just make sure that I'm going to be somewhere on the inside because I hog the sheets and the covers. And so, like, you just got to check for me that I'm not one of the people on the outside. And honestly, that was the red flag, the reddest flag for me. Like, you prefer in this situation to be in the middle of the bed as opposed to the exit. You want to be in the middle, not of the window seat, not of the aisle. Mm-mm. That's when I knew. I was like, mm-mm, this is something not right with that girl. That's not the correct answer. This is like another thing for me, right? Every time I like date a guy and, you know, like I'm spending the night at his place, right? It's always, he's always got the bed up against the wall and he always wants to be on the outside. I, to be clear, am only 5 feet tall. Okay. And I pretty much exclusively date dudes that are like 5'11" minimum. Okay. Okay. So if I have to pee, I'm waking up, it's like 2:15 in the morning. I gotta pee. And now I have to do fucking Olympic stretches, yoga to get out of this bed and not wake you up. It's like a whole thing to like make sure I'm like my arms are shaking. Like, oh God, please. I don't want to wake you up. I don't want to be, you know, like it's a lot, right? But and so there's something wrong with her. Okay. That's just the truth. But like, sound off in the comments if you short-legged ladies have found a way to navigate this. I've, you know, over the years have tested so many different methods. The best I can do is like Spider-Man. Like, you know how when Spider-Man does like one leg out, like one long leg, and then it's like kind of like a lunge situation? That's the best I've come up with. And then you kind of just like heave yourself up that way. That's the best advice I can give to you. If you got something better, please, please let me know. So then we move on to the next question, because we have to broach the subject of the fact that Nick don't have a job. He's not clocking in. No 1040s. No 1099s. Nothing. Okay. He's a stay-at-home dad now. Okay. Before, we can't get into that. Billy already tried. Dubious. Okay. But they're like, okay, so how do you feel? Because Nick is like a stay-at-home dad, right? And Jasmine breaks it down. Most people in life, they live in like a wolf pack sort of environment. There's an alpha male. Everybody's falling in line behind him, right? But her family growing up was more of like a pride of lions where the dad worked. She said her dad worked nights. So he did work. Nick, I just want to be clear. Her father did have a job. He just worked at night, so he was like home with the kids during the day, but also their mom was the breadwinner, and that was like no issues. She was used to that, right? So then Jasmine's like, well, for you guys, what is the hardest thing about this? Again, I feel like TLC wants the Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips to be the golden couple of the show, so we're not really getting the mess like we do with the Merrifields and everybody else, because like I think they always want like somebody that we can anchor to, a family that's like in the world of mess and chaos and Becky and Justin, we at least have these people. Yes, they're all sharing some big ass fucking bed that nobody since some member of the Denver Nuggets has slept in. That's neither here nor there. We still love them, and like they seem mostly normal, you know. Also, we have to be like, you know, again, like we're in a circus here. It's hard to be like, oh, here's a port in the storm. They seem okay. Right? There's still, I've still got a lot of questions, but I still feel like when they ask these questions, they're not answering what the actual difficulties are happening. Like, I feel like we keep harping on this. Danielle left. We want to make sure that she doesn't sign another lease in an apartment. But we're not really getting to why. And every scene is like Danielle being like, this is so great. I definitely want to keep doing this. I'm not scared at all. I don't have Zillow pulled up right on my phone right now and feeling great. And then she's telling us, I do have Zillow pulled up in the confessional. It's like, I'm terrified. I'm shaking. I'm physically shaking every time. I don't want to do this. Everything in my body is saying this is wrong, but I can't say no. So, uh-oh. So all Danielle can tell Jasmine is, in this situation, one of the tough things is that you just can't be complacent. Because, you know, I was just out here in these streets doing things on my own. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I've got to consult other people. It's not just all these shining star moments. But it's like, we never hear about them, right? So Jennifer then gets asked by Jasmine. Again, we don't hear Jennifer's answer. We don't hear April's answer. Jennifer's like, well, Jasmine, how do you feel about jealousy? And Jasmine, again, is like, I don't know if I have that. I don't know if I'm capable of that. I don't know. I don't really know if I have anything to be jealous of, which, like, to be fair, in this situation, she's not wrong. Danielle says in a confessional, she's peeping. Jasmine's answering all the right questions, all the right ways. This could potentially be a red flag, because do you really feel that way, or is this just something that you want us to feel like, or if you're feeling like, you know, like I'm doing, you're just saying all the right things, but on the inside you're screaming. So they asked Jasmine, well, how do you feel about us having another date? Would you want to go with Nick? Would you want to do it all together? She's like, yeah, I definitely want to hang out. Jasmine tells us, I feel like the chemistry between all of us was great. I'm optimistic about meeting Nick for the first time, because if he's anything like them, like, we're just going to hit it off just fine. After that, April says in a confessional, she's also, like Danielle, worried about Jasmine. She's maybe too agreeable. I don't know. Is she hiding something? But ultimately, her biggest concern is how Danielle feels about it. She says, we're just trying to expand our family, but we, again, don't want to lose April in the process. I think they're very concerned about the fact that they've got this mortgage, and two's going to be a stretch, okay? Two's going to be a real stretch, and they got a newborn baby, okay? So after that, Nick is at home with the baby. Jasmine has to go off to work, so they're good. Nick's at home with baby Vera, and the ladies are coming back home from their date. But Nick tells us, I really don't know anything about Jasmine, except I saw some pictures of her, and my eyes were definitely pleased. You don't know anything? Like, you didn't ask men, you know, say like, What's she into? What attracted y'all to her? What's her name? Like, what? She looks hot. Okay, good. Y'all take the wheel. April, take the wheel. So they come back and April's like, I definitely think you would like her. Like, we're into her. Danielle's like, yeah, she's like kind of sassy, kind of spunky. You like her. April says in a confessional, I'm worried about Danielle because it's really easy to be the new shiny sister wife. But the transition from being that to like an actual sister wife can be difficult. So Danielle says, well, nothing felt forced. It just felt really great. It all felt so cohesive. No, it didn't. No, it did not, Danielle, because you tell us in a confessional, I'm the one who's potentially going to marry this person. So there's like a lot at stake. So then Jennifer asks, well, Nick, what do you think the next step should be? Do you think we should all go on a date together? Do you want to just do a one-on-one? Danielle, how do you feel? And she's like, well, I think it would be good to just see if Jasmine's comfortable with us or something. And so Nick is like, okay, well, I want to make sure that we're just like moving along at a pace that everybody is comfortable with. And then he says, I definitely want to take things slow, but like, I also want to give it a chance. April then says, in the back of my mind, I just can't help but thinking that Danielle might not be okay. So she asks Danielle, are you sure? Because we can really stop right now. Are you sure, Danielle? Danielle says in a confessional, just a little hard, you know, especially when everybody seems like on board and I don't want to be the one to say, oh, I have a problem with that. And that's like my biggest problem. Is it like it could be hard to say my honest truth when it doesn't go along with what everyone else is feeling. And I get that. This is why you guys shouldn't be marrying people in their early 20s, because I probably would still do the same thing. To be fair to April, she is saying, are you sure? And she is saying, Danielle, we could stop this right now. But Danielle, she also knows that Danielle's never going to do that. Like, at most, you're going to find her when she's, you know, packing up her shit in the driveway again. And that's going to, there's nothing either of you guys are going to do in that situation. You're just going to look at each other while she puts her succulents in the front seat and then, like, you know, puts the seatbelt over them. Like, and y'all are both going to be looking silly. So it's hard. Because she's giving her an out, but we all know, me, you, listening, April, Danielle, Jennifer, Vera, that she's not telling the truth. So what are we going to do? Vera knows this is bullshit. That's why April was like, oh, I think Vera's tired. I'm going to put her down for a nap. Because she knew Vera was going to pop that pacifier out and be like, tell the truth, y'all. Tell the truth. Moving on. Moving on. Ooh, I think we might actually end with Naeem and Nayla. So let's move on to Joel. Let's move on to Joel and then Danielle. So we're still in Rio. Okay, we're on our last dying breaths of our trip in Rio. And Joel's telling the ladies, yeah, it's like a really bittersweet day. And Danielle's like, yeah, it's really so bittersweet. The smile. She even put her lipstick on. She's having a great time, okay? You cannot tell me she wasn't listening to the, like, Corinne Bailey Ray before they did this scene. Like, girl, put your records on. She's having her best day. Pregnant. And not about to be going to the wedding of her husband and this new bitch. Like, let's be real. This is the best day of her life. The best day of her life. Best day. I've never seen Danielle more light and footloose and fancy free. She's having a great time. So picture this. We're on a couch. Garrick is, you know, loafing like he usually does. We're low loaf. You know, Garrick's like a loaf of bread. That's like a sourdough that just hasn't quite risen. Like, it still looks like bread. The elements are there, but you can't eat. There's nothing you can do with this. You can't work with this, you know, but you see it. So now he's like, you know, it's like you have to keep it warm enough to rise. Yeah, keep it to like when I'm hearing like 80 degrees. The kitchen didn't get higher than 65 is what I'm thinking. You know what I mean? So like, again, it's there, but it's not like you can't do anything with it. So we're, I think, not even lower. I think we're lower than 65 degrees. or maybe like 63 and a half. Garrick's, we're low energy here.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. As we all know, when it comes to everyone's business, I like to mention it all, but when it comes to mine, I like to keep things a little bit closer to the chest. But that method doesn't always work when it comes to your mental health, and we all need a way to purge and get it out. Therapy is a safe space to do that and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down by learning positive coping skills and all the tools you need to help you be the best version of yourself. BetterHelp is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So you can just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/everyone's business today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/everyone's business. Real low. So he needs some grape nuts or something. But Natalia's staring at Danielle on the other side. Like, bitch, I know that you got pregnant on purpose. She's fucking pissed. Natalia's like, you did it. You did it. And I got to keep it real cute around my man and yours. But I know what you did. I know what you did. So Garrick is now all up in the translator app saying, sad wedding, happy baby. And Natalia's like, real happy baby. So then Danielle says, you know, even though like the wedding was canceled, and that's sad news for them, Garrick and Natalia and I are going to go to the clinic in Brazil and we can all see the baby together for the first time. Now, mind you, they're going back to America in like 2 days. So there's no reason why we need to be running to La Clinica to be seeing this baby. You're rubbing this in her face. And that is wild. And you know how I know this is true? Garrick tells the translator, I wasn't expecting to have another baby with Danny. And then looks at Natalia and goes, surprise. So Joel says to us, life sure does not go to plan. I think Natalia might be depressed and devastated because the wedding was called off. And maybe she's also upset because we were purposely trying to have a baby. Like really, really trying intentionally to have a baby. And she thought she was pregnant because her period was late. But then it's like me and Danielle, like a total accident. Like, whoops. Okay, so lots to unpack there, babe. No surprise to anybody that this man has been immediately trying to pump Natalia up with his weird-ass baby juice. No surprise there. I'm so sorry to put it that way. But what is crazy to me is that he's like, why? I mean, I understand. Okay, it has been 14 years since y'all have conceived a child. But, like, the fact that he is like, whoops. Like, it makes it think that, like, maybe they have been intentionally not trying to have a child. Like, is he putting his Holy Spirit into her? I don't need to know. We don't need to know. So, at this point, Danielle really starts rubbing it in. And it's like, well, it just seems like nothing really goes as planned, doesn't it? And then she points at her and Garrick and says, no plan. And then she points at Garrick in Italian and goes, planned. She's a witchy little woman, isn't she? So then, yeah, Natalia goes, yeah, good day for Danny, but for me, bad day. I'm mentally tired, is it? Is it tired? So Garrick is like, yeah, it's just really sad. Danielle has her hand all up on Garrick's knee. She is giddy, okay? She could run to Colorado on the fumes that she's going on. But then she says, you know, I was really hoping that Natalia would also be pregnant. And I just feel like there's apprehension in the air and there's just uneasy feelings because of the baby situation. And maybe she thinks I did this on purpose, but I'm hoping that this baby will bring us all together. And that's what the plural lifestyle is all about. So I hope it does. Girl, tell on yourself a little bit more. Gee, I wonder if maybe she's upset because she thinks that I for sure did this on purpose, and now I get to test her in this new way and be like, oh, you should be so happy for me because this is what a plural lifestyle is all about, Natalia. Why are you crying? Why are you crying, babe? You should be happy for me because we're family. Family. So then Danielle's happy ass gets right, stir up. I got my stirrups ready. I brought them myself. You need them? My legs are spread, and I'm ready. Put that little cold jelly on my stomach, ma'am, and let me see the baby. So we find out she's 8 weeks. Excuse me. Sorry. She's 11 weeks. 11 weeks along. So you're telling me you just found out that you were pregnant, like, a couple days before you got here, and you've only been here a couple days. Where did you think your period was this whole time, Danielle? Interesting. So then, you know, it's a very special moment. It should be. It is a special moment. A child is being brought into this world. God bless. Every baby is a blessing. Danielle is having an entirely different experience from Garrick, who's having an entirely different experience from Natalia, who's, I can't imagine how this clinician must feel, because just by the faces, ooh, there's a lot going on here. Danielle walking on sunshine, okay? Happy, she's emotional, you know, like what you would expect from somebody who's like, oh my God, this is my baby, like typical mother reaction. Garrick, you know, doe-eyed and dumb-faced, dumbfounded as he always is. Natalia, just like trying to take it all in, okay? This is wild. Natalia tells us that this is a very special moment for Garrick and Danny only. But I feel like it's a little bit sad also because Garrick and I haven't even had a conversation about what all of this means. He's not tried to check in on me emotionally whatsoever. I'm just trying to learn to adapt and deal with things, but I'm like doing it on my own, right? That man is not a safe place to land. Surprise, surprise, girl. So they, like I said, she's 11 weeks along and Natalia's like, this is really like crazy for me. Like, it's just weird for me to have to leave a moment that was just sad. I was about to get married. I'm not having a wedding. He's about to leave. This is very sad for me. And then I have to jump right into this clinic and have this brand new elated feeling for someone else. It's a lot. So after that, they get back to the house and Natalia's friends are going to come over. This was initially supposed to be like a party, pre-wedding. We're so happy for you, like a little mixer sort of thing. But given the circumstances, now is, you know, a little bit more like a funeral. They ain't celebrating shit. So, you know, Garrick's like, you know, I think this will be a really good support for Natalia during this difficult time. So Natalia, she's got this friend named Lorena. Lorena speaks fluent English, so she's doing a lot of the translating here. But Natalia tells us that when she first told her friends, like, y'all, I'm in a polygamous situation, they're like, what is that? Are you crazy? But now they've seen it. They've seen Garrick and her in real time. Somehow that has helped them, okay. So now they're all like, we just want to support you. We just want to see you happy, right? So Natalia is explaining to her friends about the registry office. They found out that he's living with Danielle in a marriage-like situation. They've got the kids. They got the family. We could see that maybe you divorced him, girl. But we see what's going on. We're not dumb. They really think Brazilians are stupid, I think. And I really hope that comes to bite them in the ass. So, actually, it already has. I hope it continues to. So then they're like, you know, they're talking about it. They realize he's basically still married to Danielle. He's just trying to do, like, get off on a legality. We're not going to be a part of this. Sorry. It's a chop for us. So they call her the day before. They're like, it's not happening. And Natalia's like, I booked my hair and makeup. I already bought a dress. I got the restaurant booked out with my family. They're supposed to come up. I'm really sad. And like the worst part is like, I'm having to call these people and be like, oh, the wedding's canceled. Right. So then she's telling her friends, we went to the doctor. Yeah, it was a happy moment for them. I was trying to be happy because it's their first time seeing the baby and I'm not trying to ruin this special experience for them. So her friend Lorena is explaining to Garrick and Danielle what Natalia said to them in English. Right. And Natalia goes on to say, we didn't really talk about it, me and Garricky. And we were just like, oh, you know, like, let's be happy now and we can talk later. But at no point, Garrick, did you have a conversation with me or try to comfort me emotionally. So Lorena is telling them, Joel, she's saying, like, y'all were all super happy, but, like, and she didn't want to ruin it, but she thinks that you kind of ignored her. So Danielle now is like, well, I'm confused because I just feel like if she was like emotional and she cried and like it's new for her, maybe she needs to realize that Garrick is going to have a lot of his time divided. So, you know, we're going to have to be very understanding with what he's dealing with. She's evil, man. Like, I like Natalia. I like that she's doing this to Garrick. I don't like that she's doing this to Natalia because I like her, Natalia. I like Natalia more than Danielle. But I do like that she's continuing to just like flamethrow all of these relationships and then be like, you know, it was God's will. Oh, that's funny to me. That's so funny. So after that, Natalia is like, yeah, about that whole having to divide the time and me being understanding of that. How is he going to do it even more when he wants, what, like 4 or 5 wives, Garricky? Is that what you want? Garricky's trying not to make eye contact with Natalia. And he's like, well, I think the point of plural marriage is that the wives are sisters and that they can support each other. So if there's like 3 wives, 2 of them are going to be with each other. I won't be with them. So they can support each other, whether they're sad or happy. You know, it's a family thing. And so her friend is like, you guys feel that way? And now Danielle has the perfect opportunity to be like, I just really wonder if Natalia doesn't feel like we can have a relationship. And so Natalia is saying, it's a slow process. Like, our friendship has to be built in stages. So now Danielle gets to start crying and be like, well, Lorena, can you just ask her to, you know, maybe open up to me more? Because I feel like since Garrick has been here, like, she hasn't really talked to me about the wedding or anything. She's not having one. Ain't shit to say, Danielle. We already established this. And she's just, like, our conversation's just very limited. And it makes me feel very shut out. Why are you not comforting her? Being like, I'm so sorry that you're not going to have the wedding that you thought you were going to have. But now it's Natalia's responsibility to make you feel better because her shit got ruined. Girl. Okay. So Natalia is rightfully rolling her eyes. She's tried so hard to keep it cute. And Garrick is saying, you know, Natalia's friends showed up and it's kind of spiraling out of control. It's a lot of emotion all at once. So then Lorena's trying to explain to Natalia how Danielle feels and how, like, oh, she's so sad, wishing y'all's relationship could get better and you would be nicer to her. And Danielle says, not to be rude, but, you know, sharing a husband is very important for us. We have to be on the same page and communicate. I'm an emotional person and I cry and I share my feelings, and Natalia is just very reserved. So Lorraine is telling her, like, she's saying you guys have different personalities, but she wants to be friends. I think Natalia is, or Lorraine rather, is cleaning it up a little bit. The passive aggressiveness is not shining through in the translation to me, but I think Natalia can feel it anyway. So Natalia is like, okay, girl, if that's what you're saying, that she's saying, fine, I fully agree, we should be friends. I just think our relationship is going to be a gradual buildup. It's going to grow over time. So whatever reason, Garrick starts talking about how hard this is for him. Because I love you guys both. And, you know, the thing that I love about living plural, the thing that I love most is the sisterhood. That is your favorite thing. Because it's not giving. It's not giving. And then when we're unified in love, it just makes me be a better man. So it's upsetting to me when we're not all together fully. And now all of Natalia's friends are just staring at him. Because honestly, like, regardless of what language you speak, this is very weird and uncomfortable. That he's just, like, sitting here kind of crying, but also speaking so softly. It's weird. It's weird. So they basically are like, okay, we just need to have, like, more time with each other to, you know, build trust. And Garrick, you need to pay attention to both of your wives, please. So Danielle and Natalia hug it out. No intervention from Garrick whatsoever. He's like, this is something they have to figure out. He does not try whatsoever. And then Danielle says in a confessional, I absolutely do not think that Natalia understands the role of sister wives. She's just kind of living in the mindset of a monogamous relationship still. And I felt that way when Garrick and I went from monogamy to living plural. So, you know, sorry, let me stop laughing. So I'm just hoping that I can help her open up and engage and find a different way of, like, knowing more about her and who she is. Yeah, I'm sure. So now we get to the last night in Rio. It's Garrick's 39th birthday. So he's asking Danielle, how are you feeling? She's like, I feel so great. I'm so happy. I can't wait to go home to our sons and our home and our family. And I just feel like we all understand a little bit more. So Natalia's like, yeah, I think the baby's going to help us unite a little bit more and grow even more as a family. But then Natalia tells us, you know, last night was really difficult. It was a complicated night for all of us. Yeah, I'm happy we were able to work things out. But now I'm about to be away from this man. I've never had a long distance relationship and I don't know when I'm going to see him again. So Natalia brings up, like, yeah, it's your last day. And, of course, who starts crying? Him. And she's like, yeah, it's normal for you to have these long-distance relationships, but this is the first time for me. And all he can say is broken English. Hopefully, rapido, visa, K-1, okay? So then Garrick says, well, Danielle, it's the last night, so I get to stay with Natalia, right? And she's like, uh-huh. Joel says in a confessional that this is going to be a hard goodbye tomorrow, but I kind of have a feeling that Natalia is going to get a real hard goodbye tonight. And maybe in the morning, too.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let me move on. We're going to end with Naeem and Nayla, our stars of the show for this week, because damn, it got messy real quick. But I have a lot of opinions on this. So Nayla has a friend named Jahari. They've met through their poly circles, and she's polyamorous. Like, they're polygamous, no mixing, but Jahari is bisexual. She's in a relationship with a man and a woman. They've got a husband and wife situation, right? So, also, they're going to be surprising Jameela, Naeem's mother, yet again. Why are we doing this? All y'all do is want to stay in mess. Y'all keep popping up with people trying to surprise this woman when she's told y'all, I don't approve of this. We can have a debate on, like, live and let live, but I also feel like you can't. It's kind of unfair to be, like, knowingly putting somebody in situations that they don't want to be in. Like, you can disagree with the fact that she disagrees with your lifestyle, but I also think it's, like, she told you, I need a boundary, and y'all are just like, no. And I just don't know if it's, like, fair in this case. Like, she could be more open-minded, but y'all keep, like, pressing people. She told y'all how you feel, and then I guess I just feel like y'all are putting her in these situations, surprising her, expecting her to not be pissed off, and then being like, what's wrong with you? But you know what's going to happen. So I guess you mean just, it's surprising to me that y'all are acting surprised by her outbursts. So they're going to be surprising Jameela with their friend Jahari in an effort to, like, get her to change her mind on this. Spoiler alert, it goes from worse to worser. So they're like, and I don't want to, like, I hope this doesn't come across as disrespectful to bisexual people, but I just want to say, like, Jameela's already made it clear that she feels like you guys in your polyamorous relationship, or excuse me, polygamous relationship is germy, nasty, whatever, and y'all aren't, you know, there's, like, a little bit more of a separation. Now you're putting this woman, this bisexual woman, in a situation where she's about to tell your mom that she's bisexual. She already thinks y'all are nasty. What do you think she's going to say about this woman? Like, that's not fair to her. So here we are at yet another restaurant, because one thing about Nayla and Naeem is they're going to max that per diem out, okay? They told y'all, yeah, they were like, what do you guys pay for? What are we, like, they're like, okay, you get, like, you know, $1,200 per episode. And, you know, if you go somewhere, like, an activity, like, if you go out to eat, then, you know, and this is me, this is no judgment, because I'd be doing the same thing. Like, okay, we're going to pick a bucket list of all the restaurants we want to go to, and we're going to film a scene every time. We're going to buy groceries. That's why they bought 17 watermelons. They're like, do groceries count? Let's buy 17,000 watermelons and have them for juice. Let's do that. Let's do it. So anyway, we're at another restaurant. Jameela, Naeem's mother, shows up like a baddie. She's got her black leather bell bottoms on, a white, black and white polka dot shirt, one of those furry jackets that look like, you know, like from the set of Where the Wild Things Are. Like, she's giving, okay? So Jameela sits down and she sees Jameela sees Jahari and is like, who is this? And they're like, oh, it's our friend. And she's like, what do you mean, friend? Like, is this, like, a friend, or is this, like, an actual friend? They're like, no, this is our actual friend. But what would you have done if he was, like, our friend? And she says, I would have been cordial, but then I would have left. And so they're like, well, why would you have left? And she's like, because I already told you guys I wasn't interested, and you wouldn't have given me a heads up. You would have just surprised me with somebody, so I would have left. And why are y'all acting surprised? She already told you what time it was. So now they're like, well, Jahari's awesome. And she's like, okay, there's a lot of awesome people in the world. I don't choose to be around those people. What now? So now Jahari's got to, like, stick up for herself. And she asks Jameela, what is it that you don't approve of? Is it the lifestyle? And she's like, I just don't want it for my son. Anybody else on this planet can do whatever they want. I just don't want it for Naeem. And so Jahari's like, I get it. My mom felt the same way. But I think a way to understand your daughter or son is just, like, to realize it is not just a sexual thing. It's like, I have something in common with them. They're poly. situation is two women, one man. My poly situation is also two women, one man, but like we're all together. And Naeem says, she's trying to say she's bisexual. Okay. So Jamila's like, okay. So like a same bed situation. And Nayla says, well, about that, even though we're not polyamorous, whoever we're with, we're also going to be sharing the same bed. Because she tells us in a confessional, I don't do this, like, sleep away from Naeem thing. So we're just going to have to all get along because I ain't doing it. So Jahari is, like, going on, continuing with her speech about how this is not a sexual thing. It's a community situation. And Jamila goes, well, about that, it's not just these two. There are children involved in this situation. And I've been telling you guys that from day one. You keep trying to convince me that this is the best thing since apple pie. So Nayla says, okay, well, from day one, you also were like, this is Jeremy. And Jamila says, you're grown. You're grown. But they're not. The kids are not. You think this is going to go one way, but like what you're really doing is just selfish. This is all for your own selfish reasons. So Naeem is like, whoa, 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 stop it. And then he tells his mom, we do talk to our kid. And Jamila's like, she's 14. How does she know what you're talking about? So Jamila says in a confessional, they're acting like, oh, she understands. Their daughter understands because we're so open. It's like, yeah, you're more open than you should be. So Jamila tells him, it does not matter what I think, because at the end of the day, y'all are going to do whatever the hell you want. So Nayla says, okay, but the reason why, she's telling Jahari, the reason why Jamila doesn't approve of this lifestyle is because, like, we don't actually know. It keeps changing. She's grasping at straws at this point, and she's now bringing up our daughter as a last resort for why we shouldn't do that. So Jamila's like, you need to leave your daughter out of this situation because I don't think it's good for her. And Nayla says, well, you're just making an assumption that she's not okay. But you actually haven't even asked her. So Naeem says in a confessional, if I have to describe the relationship between my mom and my daughter, they don't have one. But she comes off like she's so involved. Their relationship is maybe 5 minutes on the phone and that's it. So now Nayla's activated. And she says, Jamila, you're making assumptions about my kid. But I actually talk to my children. So which one of us is making an ass out of themselves? Because it seems like you. Okay. Okay. So now Jamila is telling Nayla, okay, now you're getting disrespectful. And she's telling Naeem, you need to stop and not let your wife be so disrespectful. Jahari is like, why am I here? Why? Can I get an Uber? You think I can get an Uber? So Jamila tells Nayla, until you apologize, we're not speaking. And Nayla's like, okay, well, I'm not apologizing. So now Jamila's like, well, okay, well, don't talk to me ever again then. Not ever again in life. And Nayla says, I absolutely do not care. So Jamila gets up and is like, great, done deal. She's about to leave, right? I don't want to talk anymore. And Nayla says, are you going to walk away? And Jamila says, I'm probably going to walk over there and smack you in your fucking face if you keep talking like that. So Nayla's dressed like Marty McFly. She's got like the blue vest, the puffer vest, and this like black, this like button down shirt. So Nayla goes, I'm curious, what are you going to do? You come over here, what's going to happen when you do it? You're going to smack me in my fucking face. What do you think is going to happen after that? What do you think? And she gets up. What do you think is going to happen, Jamila? And so now Jamila's like trying to take off her Where the Wild Things Are coat. Jahari's yelling at both of them, but mostly Nayla. Be a queen. Just be a queen in this moment. What do you do? So now, I'm sure this woman is very sweet. God bless her. But they brought out like the meekest person in production. This poor little white woman is now like, because you could tell because she's got her like her mic pack like equipment on her. So she opens because they're sitting like outside in this porch area of the restaurant. And she's opening the door like, and she doesn't want to say anything because she doesn't want to ruin the shot and break the fourth wall. So she just kind of opens the door and sees that they're settling down a little bit. So she just closes the door again. It's like, what were you going to do anyway? I'm asking, like, Nayla, now what were you going to do if Jamila got in the middle of it? What were you going to do, babe? Not nothing. Poor Michaela. Why did you, out of all the people, y'all put her in the middle of the fight between two black women? What was Michaela going to do? Thank God. So now, it's like things are settling down, sort of. I mean, they're still getting sassy with each other. Jamila decides to finally actually go in the restaurant, and we can hear her say, I'm going to whoop that bitch's ass. So in a confessional, we end the episode with Nayla saying, it's important to my husband that my mother-in-law accepts whoever he's with. It's not important to me, okay? So they all get up. Jahari chooses to do the funniest thing. So they have to, like, walk inside the restaurant to walk back out to go into the parking lot, right? But Jahari takes this moment while Nayla and Naeem and Jamila have walked inside to be like, oh, I'm going to finish this drink. I'm going to take a shot. And she takes Naeem's drink off the table because he is not taking a sip. She's swallowing, chug, chug, chug. She got about halfway. Halfway down the cup. Halfway. She got the glass halfway down before Nayla and Naeem came out the actual front door and saw her sucking from his cocktail. She said, I deserve this. If anybody deserves this blackberry daiquiri, it's me, okay? Shout out to Jahari. And shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for being patient. Thank you for listening. Thank me for speaking. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled program next week. Love you. Bye.